I didn't say that they were louder. I said it felt like we weren't at home. Mm-hmm. Our fans who are here are great, but it's hard when, you know, most arenas are 20,000 strong for one team. And, you know, it feels like our fans are having to battle a lot of fans from the other team. So it's not about our fans that come to the games. But, you know, tonight, that's kind of how it's always been. But in the playoffs, you know, we're going to need everybody. So I didn't say anything about our fans being bad at all.
That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to an all-new ClipCast. I'm your host, Chris Wild.
Wild Thing.
And I'm Mike Jaguar.
With me, as always, is the Jaguar. Michael Jaglin.
I'm Mike Jaglin.
3 games left.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh. I mean, it's going to change every single second.
The Western Conference is crazy. Teams 2 through 6, it's a logjam. The good news is that we have the lightest schedule of all of those teams.
Yes, and we have a gap now until the Grizzlies.
That's
on
right.
Saturday.
Who are 10.5 back, just like us. We're in a virtual tie from Memphis. They have one less loss than us, but they have one fewer win than us.
And we're, what, tied in the loss? We're tied in the loss column with the conference record.
We're tied in the loss column with the conference record, but we just got to win. We got to win out.
And that's what I've been saying. It's important for this team to just win out and then figure out where you're going to be.
Jag, we've won now 11 of 12. The only time we lost was to the, you know, the best team in the land, the Golden State Warriors, those jerks.
Ugh.
That was a terrible game.
It was awful. I mean, but...
We had them.
But we had them.
Because they were listless in the first half, Golden State.
They were. We played great defense and moved the ball well in that game. And
we
then
went cold in the final 5 minutes.
And we went cold in the third quarter when we let them back in, right back in that game.
But the last time we casted, we had 11 games left. Now we've got 3 games left. We, like I said before, have won 11 of 12. We won 7 in a row, and we have a chance to win 7 in a row again going out. Because we're now at a 4 game, which is not a win streak. You got to get 5 for it to be a win streak, says Duke's own J.J. Redick. I don't want to talk about the NCAA game because this is the ClipCast, but we got to mention the fact that Duke won. We've got 3 Dukies on the team, and those guys were feeling it in the locker room before the game. Yeah. They were loving their Dukies, and they had the day off.
Yeah, and Doc talked about Austin and JJ too.
Yeah, they were cocky. They were arrogant.
Well, they should be.
They should. Yeah, the team won the championship.
Arguably the greatest coach of our generation. I mean,
certainly our generation.
You can argue Phil Jackson, but Coach K now 5 titles, and he has what?
Only the Wizard of Westwood is better than him, Jack.
Wow. Only the Wizard of Westwood.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah, he has more titles than Bobby Knight and Dean Smith combined.
Coach K is fantastic, but let's
this
talk
isn't
Clippers.
Coach K cast.
3 games left, 2 of them at home. That final game is the second night of a back-to-back in Phoenix, who will just be playing for nothing, just for their fans.
Oh, that's a scary game. But you
it's
know,
a scary game.
I want to backtrack to tonight. If you listened to us in the morning, yesterday, the return
54 combined points for Blake and JJ. But what you're about to say, the return
of Jamal.
Of Picasso.
Yes.
Oh, it was great. It was great to have him back. But me and Maul have been talking for a while. And, you know, when you've been out that long, everybody wants you to come back and be that same guy right away. But it's going to take him some time. And he's going to work his way back in.
I was okay. I was rusty. Yeah. Like, I mean, my legs, I looked, it said 19 minutes, but it felt like it was 35 minutes, you know. And that's to be expected. That was the first time I played 5-on-5 since I actually got hurt. The rest is I just started running this past week, but I think that's what these games are for. I'm a kind of a big picture guy. I don't get too high or too low. If I would have had 25, I wouldn't have been too excited because I know it's just a process. And some days it'll go and some days it won't until I get the rest off.
He got in this game in time to qualify for a 6th man of the year still.
Oh, there you go.
So, but, I mean, this bench needs him. I mean, let's not sugarcoat it.
He's the reigning 6th man of the year. He leads the league in bench points. And this team needs him, absolutely.
Yeah. We don't know what we're going to get with this bench. Spencer Hawes has not lived up to the billing, to the advertisement.
When you're looking at Turkoglu as the bright spot of the bench, you know you're in trouble with Turkoglu all due respect
baby.
To Turkoglu.
Turkoglu and Baby.
Big Baby's a great energy guy. He's going to go in there and give you big defense. He's going to put up those crazy layups that he does. He's got a decent, you know, short jumper. And he's that energy guy.
Mm-hmm. But Austin has flashes.
Austin is such an upgrade from what we had, Jordan Farmar. But, Jack, talk to me about playoff rotations. I mean, I don't think Hawes gets any minutes in the playoffs the way he's playing.
I think he'll see minutes. I mean, I'm just really shocked with Hawes that, you know, at this point in the season, they don't sit down with him and say, okay, let's compartmentalize what you do. Because when he's around the basket and moving around, he seems to do more.
Right.
But it's when he just turns into this Byron Mullins 2.0 that things just go. And his confidence is not there.
I got a theory. He's reverse Samson. He needs to shave the long locks. He needs to shave the beard.
Yes, get it rid of the man bun.
It's not working.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. For the playoffs,
the whale spout, toss it.
Shave the man bun.
I'm Here telling you, yeah. bald.
Yeah.
Get the schick. Get the bick.
He is going to see time, though. I mean, it's not going to be meaningful minutes, but he's going to put him out there. Right now, Baby is the first big off the bench, right. as he should be.
As he should be.
But
you tighten up your rotations in the playoffs.
I know.
You take your best eight and make a run, and our best eight is not Spencer Hawes.
I know it is.
Six is Crawford. Seven and eight are Baby and Austin.
I know.
And so why? Why would Spencer play? I don't think he I think talk to me about Spencer Hawes' minutes tonight, Jack. What is Spencer
Hawes'
minutes?
Well, again, they played the Lakers.
I know, but what were Spencer Hawes' minutes tonight?
Spencer Hawes?
13 minutes.
Isn't bad.
He's not getting 13 minutes in round one. He's not.
I think he'll probably average. I'm gonna make a bold statement. He averages 6 to 8 minutes.
There you go.
6 to 8 minutes.
That's like nothing.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Not for a guy you're paying the mid-level exception for.
He's gone, by the way, in
No,
summer.
He's not gone.
Yes, he
Everyone
is,
Everyone says he's gone.
He's gone.
Again, I don't think you can make that. You can't be signing players than just shipping them out the next year.
You can sign them and ship them if they stink. And
yes.
And Dudley stunk.
Yes, and you get
and
one
Hawes,
on the first
the party's over, stinks.
And then Dudley trashes him in the media.
So what? He's a sore loser.
I still think that
you gotta toss. You gotta
you can't,
dish
you don't,
him.
You don't dish Hawes.
You dish him.
You don't dish him.
You dish Hawes. He's gone.
I mean, it's just a shame.
I'm going to call you, text you, Vine you, Snapchat you. I told you so.
He's not going to be gone.
When Hawes is traded in July,
he's not going to be gone.
Gone. He's gonzo.
No, but
shoot him out of a cannon. The guy loves chickens. He's gonzo.
It's going to be interesting, too, to see Lester Hudson's deal.
You asked Doc.
Yeah.
You said Hudson or Nate, point blank. That's what you said. And you know what Doc did? Danced around the issues.
But it was honest.
Yeah, let's take a listen.
Doc, you have Lester Hudson's 10-day contract about to expire. What are your plans with him, and are you still keeping an eye on Nate Robinson?
We're keeping an eye on everyone, and we're just going to make a decision in the next couple of days.
So we'll find out in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. And it'll probably be Nate.
Because of the experience?
Yeah. And because we don't the bench, there's going to be a game that you need him to just shoot shots, probably.
Right.
I mean, let's not forget, 2 years ago, he gave the Heat a run for their money when
Absolutely.
He was with the Bulls. I mean,
Absolutely.
This is not the same Nate Robinson.
No, it isn't.
He's coming off an ACL. He's been rusty this year.
But we got Crawford back, too.
Yeah.
So we don't need him.
And remember, Nate and Jamal have not played together this season.
No.
So
last time they played together was a Rainier High.
Yeah.
Freshman and senior year.
No, Jamal
no,
getting
they were Knicks together.
It was actually Jamal's bachelor party.
Right. It was high school reunion.
Yeah.
Homecoming.
It was homecoming. But this team, you know, starting five-wise, you know, one of the best in the league.
Mike Smith, who usually dogs the Clippers, by the way. If you watch the telecasts, Mike Smith usually doesn't have that much great things to say. He made a point for saying the Clippers have arguably one of the top three starting fives in the NBA. Top three. And yeah. I agree with him.
Yeah. But the problem is, what are you getting besides Jamal off the bench?
Absolutely.
And that's the thing. Like, when they lost the Warriors, you had a guy like Maurice Spates scoring
Spates.
Like 13 or 15 points. But that's it. But then, and that's why I think you signed a Nate Robinson again. One, he knows the team more now. And two, you just don't know. You're going to have that guy that you're going to need to get that random 10 to 15 points in the playoffs.
If I was an assistant coach over at Golden State, I'd take a straight razor and I would saw that thing off Maurice Spates' head.
Maurice Spates?
Ugh. It's like a tumor that's growing into another Spates. I'm pretty sure his name is Maurice Spates. I don't know. I don't care. Jack, let's talk. Let's paint some hypotheticals because it's really, I mean, anything could happen. Houston plays San Antonio twice in a row, okay?
Memphis.
So, hypothetically, San Antonio is firing on all pistons right now. You know, us and them are kind of these hot teams along with Golden State who lost to New Orleans tonight or yesterday, depending on when you're listening. Uh-huh. Which makes, honestly, you know, Spurs, Dubs, Clips, the hottest teams in all the NBA and certainly in the West. Houston could lose both of those games, okay? Spurs could win out. We could win out. If that happens, we're two, they're three. I mean, Memphis is coming crashing down to earth. They play us. If
again,
we beat them,
we can't. We whoever wins that division will finish ahead of us. So
in the standings,
yes.
Not necessarily though. At Portland. Oh, you're saying in the in, oh my god.
Because
gosh,
you
right.
And they have the they
this
have
division yes. Bullshit.
So it's
this division. I thought I'm still hung up on
gonna,
the Portland
it's
four.
It's gonna. I know they could literally be
seventh.
Seventh.
They won't be seventh. But yeah. They'll be sixth.
Yeah, and they're really banged up.
There is a chance that certainly there's a chance we play Portland. There's a chance we play Dallas. There's a chance we play Memphis. There's a chance we play San Antonio.
I think it's going to be the Spurs or Memphis.
I think it's going to be Grizz.
I hope it's going to be Grizz. I mean, if you're a Clipper fan, your dream scenario is...
So talk to me. Okay, so Portland is automatically the four because they're the division winner.
But they won't get home court.
But so...
You want what you would want is San Antonio to finish in that slot, because right. Then you're dealing with
so
San Antonio
so
playing.
So this division nonsense.
Those three teams are in the same Southwest division.
Right. So what do they automatically get? Three, right? Not two.
No, right. They're gonna. One of those will get the two because the odds are for
why
us.
Why would they get the two if Portland's automatically going to get the four for winning their division? Why would they automatically get the two if we have a better record than them?
We're not going to have a better record. We have too many games to make up. That's the problem.
Houston
has to lose three games.
And they can.
Ah, not the way they're playing. They've won like 12 or 13.
I don't think so.
I know. But,
so you're saying the way Jag Stradamus looks at the ball is the Clippers' best case scenario is three.
Yeah. No, yes, I am. I think that's odds are... That's what's going to happen. And
in that best case scenario, honestly, if we are the three, I think in my what I would
rather
like to
have
see,
the Grizzlies.
Rather have the Grizzlies.
Even though we have a rivalry with the Grizzlies and we know this is the Grizzlies do not we think the Clipper bench is bad. The Grizzly bench is very bad.
Deplorable.
And Tony Allen's not healthy.
Right.
So, you know, they're all, and Zach Randolph's been banged up. It isn't the same team. And the Clippers beat them in Memphis without Blake. They play great defense. If they play great defense and push the momentum of the and tempo of the series, they can win this. It's not the same Grizzlies. Yes, I know.
I can't understand.
But you want to know the scary thing too? Looking at all these playoff possibilities, is what happens if San Antonio does hiccup?
Right.
Because
they're playing Houston twice,
and they decide.
To rest.
Just rest. Yeah.
Well, because
it's us.
They just played OKC tonight and won. They play Houston tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Then they play Houston again on Friday.
Right. So, I just don't know. I mean, what's crazy
anything's possible.
And, like, you know, when Nick Hamilton was on the show, he called us, like, NBA nerds because all we do is stare at the scoreboard and stare at the standings. But that's all you can do.
Yeah.
That's all you can do, Nick Hamilton.
Yeah, we just
put your Clipper cape on and stare at the scoreboards and the standings.
There are so many things that we could break down. Like, again, Memphis has to play New Orleans. They have to play at Utah, then come to LA
and
the next night.
Utah's playing tough for some stupid reason.
It's a young athletic team that could give them problems.
Right.
And then they go to Golden State on Monday. Golden State could rest everybody. You know what I mean? There's a lot of weird things that could go
on.
Wonky. Yeah.
Talk to me about Houston. They play New Orleans again, right?
Houston, they have...
I know they play the Spurs twice, but there's another couple games in there, Jack. Bring that up.
Well, let's bring that up. First, before I bring that up, 4-0 this year against the L Word. We haven't brought that up.
We have won 11 out of the past 12 games versus the L Word.
Besides that opening night
season,
first night of Doc Rivers.
So we have swept two season sweeps, and last year we went 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
What a change a Blake makes. What a difference a Blake makes. Because, I mean, I sat next to some Laker fans, but they, first of all, didn't know that much about basketball. Second of all, most of the Laker fans that were near me, and there weren't as many as there used to be, were just eating humble pie all night and asking questions about the Clippers and making jokes, and they know they stink. Oh, a couple of people that thought, you know, who didn't know that much about basketball, was like, just wait till next year. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, my
you're screwed next year.
We had
year.
This guy in front of us, wasn't even from LA.
Even if you get the number one pick, they're screwed.
Yeah, and he's like, this is pathetic. You're only up by five against the worst team. And I'm like, the worst team beat the Warriors this year.
Right.
I'm like, what do
anything
you
can happen. Yeah. Anything can
and
happen.
And it's just...
And P.S. who won?
Yeah. It's just arrogant, cockiness. I mean, again, get back in your time machine. Kobe is never going to be Kobe again.
Never.
He has one more year, so have your rocking chair tour
Mitch
and have fun with
overrated.
It.
Overrated.
You better hope you get Okafor or Towns, or it's going to be even harder.
Jimmy Buss, Johnny Buss.
The racetrack.
Whatever his name is, Buss Jr. is Stink City.
Yeah,
he
Phil's,
threw that team under
and
the
Phil's
bus.
Not helping you out. He's in New York with his own problems.
He's got his own set of headaches. What's crazy is the Knicks and Lakers could have 1 and 2
you
right
wanna,
there a pick, but still, they have so many years of rebuilding.
You want to know, I want you to talk about, we go to the Clippers locker room a lot. You
yeah.
went into the Lakers locker room. Can you shed to
all right,
the
let's paint
can
a
you,
picture.
Can you do, you know.
I was like, I never thought anything negative about the Clippers locker room ever, okay? You go
and
into
there's no knock on the Clippers
no,
locker room.
No, the Clippers locker room,
yeah.
locker room's lovely. Like,
yeah.
you know, it's nice. It's like sleek. They, you know, they got their showers and their hot tubs in the back or whatever, and their Epsom salt baths and all that crap. They got nice lockers, and you know, it's a nice locker room. Tonight, I was like, "Oh right, I got this press pass. I can go wherever I want. I can go into the away locker room. Let me go take a look at the Laker locker room." And Jaglyn, you walk through the door of the Lakers locker room, and it's this big, expansive hallway filled with beautiful framed pictures of former L-word greats. When you walk into the Clippers locker room, the first thing you see is a white cement brick wall.
I've said L3.
And there's a Clipper logo. When you walk into the Clipper locker room, you're smack into a wall. And,
yeah.
you, and then you got to make a right.
And then
make
you
a
go
left,
through. You have the doc room. Yeah, Doc's family.
Wonky, janky office that's like a closet. You know what I mean? And then there's an assistant. There's two small offices, right? When you walk through the Laker locker room, it's this long, expansive, wide hallway. Like, it is beautiful. Like, it's luxurious. And then it opens up on this big, wide-open mahogany lockers, leather-bound chairs. I mean, if the Laker locker room is a 10, the Clipper locker room is a 6. Mm. And that obviously changes with winning, but man, all
it
I wanted to do...
It does change with winning. I mean, Doc...
Absolutely. And Doc said everything changes with winning.
It does. And it, again...
I want to take Ballmer into that locker room, though. Because if Ballmer went into the Clipper locker room and then into the Laker locker room, there'd be big, big changes.
I really feel like this organization should do its best to get its own arena. Because...
It's never going
to
happen, Jack. Staples Center is such a marquee...
But they...
World-class arena.
These back-to-back 12 o'clock games on Sundays. The Clippers have not played a Sunday game all year. They've not played a Sunday night game all
Sunday
year.
Night game,
yeah,
right.
all year.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, in their defense...
No, there is no defense.
There was Sunday
they get shafted.
But there was Sunday afternoon games. There were ABC games. There were national coverage games.
That's fine. Those are the only... See, that's the only... Those are the only games the Lakers have played this year are the national ABC games.
Yeech. I know. I was shocked at how much tonight. And obviously, like, they've won championships in that building. I get it. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, they had a deal
yeah.
with AEG.
They are the Yankees of bat. We get it.
We
understand.
Get it.
Yeah.
We get it. And
yeah.
the Celtics probably have a really nice locker room, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I was shocked because then it was like, man, I got to get me into the LA Kings locker room, see what's going on over there with these Stanley Cup champs. There's no way the Kings locker room is as nice as the Lakers locker room.
No, but it's probably better than the Clippers. It's also probably large.
I always was very impressed, like going to the Clipper locker.
It's a great
room,
locker.
I was like, this is great.
The visiting locker room's small.
Yeah, it's junky.
Yeah,
it's humid.
It
so
really
it's like
is.
I went into the Clipper locker room and was like behind the curtain in the great, you know, Land of Oz. I was like, these are the secrets. This is cool. This is pretty slick, dude. We are like mom and pop hardware shop back there, and they are Home Depot and Lowe's over there in the L Word locker room.
One of the things that's really been bothering me, and I know. You know, Blake talked about the
I
fans.
Love
about the fans.
We started the show with that.
Yeah. I really feel that one thing this team needs to do is they need to play more music louder, one.
Right.
Because the speakers are just not loud in Staples right now.
It needs to be rocking in there.
And there's moments of silence when the Absolutely. Opposing team has the ball.
Sure.
That's unexcusable. It really is.
I gotta be honest, like what I've seen, Jag, is I always harken back to 2006 when we went to the playoffs mm-hmm. and we hadn't been there in forever. And we played Denver Nuggets, who nobody liked.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave out the red t-shirts, and you could count on your hand who wasn't wearing the red t-shirts that first whole series at home. And we won in 5 or 6, I don't remember, but we won at home. And you could count on your one hand who wasn't wearing the red t-shirt, and they were probably wearing like a Carmelo Anthony Denver Nugget jersey. But it wasn't like 20 guys. It was like 4 or 5 guys that you could see, you know, looking at thousands. And then in round 2, we played, you know, a much more popular than Phoenix team. And you saw maybe 10 or 12 Nash jerseys, maybe, than Phoenix Sun. But again, you'd need like 2-3 hands, and you could count on 2 or 3 hands in round 2 who wasn't wearing their red t-shirt. Every year, we've now gone to the playoffs 4 times in a row. I think we're taking it for granted. I think a lot of those Laker fans that were like showing up late to playoff games and leaving early and texting and stuff are now coming to our playoff games because we're the only game in town postseason NBA. And they're not going to put on the shirts,
you know,
over their Dolce & Gabbana, like, you know, Persian t-shirts.
Again, you know, I've said this to you and Tripoli and a lot of the guys we have a guy chat.
You're a text thread.
We have a big text thread.
Oh, fans, if you could see this text thread, you'd love this text thread.
The stabilization or the stability of the organization as a whole over the Donald time.
Right.
And besides Dunleavy, there was really no stability.
Right.
And
it was Cassell and Dunleavy.
And everyone employed was basically on a year-to-year deal.
Right.
And it was all about Don
looking
making
over their
money.
Shoulders and nervous they were going to get fired any second.
And Don was selling these tickets to these ticket brokers.
Right.
So, I mean, at least Ballmer and Jillian have come in and they've taken that away. You can't control season ticket holders selling their tickets. Because that's a thing. You can sell your tickets 5 games and make your season ticket back.
And that's what a lot of these working class Clipper fans have had to do because the tickets have skyrocketed. Mr. Ballmer said, some sections have only gone up 2 or 4%. I'm like, I don't know where those sections are. Because overall, it's a heck of a lot more expensive now, certainly than it was 5 years ago.
Oh, it is. But Diamond Don really hiked them up a few years ago. And that was
the first big hike.
Yeah. And
he knew, like, Chris Paul brought money with him. And Blake Griffin and, the slam dunk show that is Lob City.
But again, this organization, you know, they're learning because they were in a hole. I mean, again, we blame Doc Rivers for, you know, some of his GM moves. Yet, again, there was no structure when he walked in, really, besides, you know, Gary Sachs and Miller. So things are going to get better, and they are getting better. And again, like you said, if you win, it's going to take care of things.
Now, I want to touch on something. You asked DeAndre, you asked Blake, compare this team to last season's team. I like Blake's response. You know, this team is more down to business.
Blake, you have 3 games left in the season. How is this team now compared to last season at this point?
We're a much different team, you know. We even though we have kind of the same core, you know, the same starting 5, and a couple guys off the bench, we're a different team. So I don't know how I can really compare those two. But I think right now, as far as this team goes, we've been about, you know, business for the past, I don't know, however many games. I just like our attitude and our resolve going into games. It's always, you know, take care of business, respect everybody, but you know, you got to come out and ultimately just win games, and that's all you can care about.
Chemistry-wise, how is this team compared to last season's at this point?
I think our chemistry is great. You know, we got a lot of guys who are, you know, who genuinely get along with each other, and our camaraderie is great, and we're all here for one reason, and that's I feel like that's important.
Here's my favorite thing about this year's squad as opposed to last year's squad, because for all season long, a lot of fans have been saying, like, oh, we were much better last year. Oh, we were better last year. This team's tough to watch, which is insane. Here's what I like about this year's team as opposed to last year. Better than last year. We're the best road record Clippers ever. And that's what differentiates good teams from great teams is being able to win on the road, and it's something we never were able to do until like last year.
Well, Chris,
and now we're 10 games over 500 on the road.
We haven't had a chance to cast since Golden State and Portland, but that Portland game,
incredible.
That was the biggest win of the year.
Absolutely.
Because you lose that game, and screwed. It looked like when they were down 19 that it was over.
Game over.
Okay, we're probably going to be a 6 seed now.
We just lost to the Warriors. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to lose to Portland.
Here we go.
Everybody's right. We can beat the crappy teams. We can't beat the good teams.
Yeah, and we can't put it together. We have dug ourselves a hole.
Second best conference record. Second best conference record, only behind Golden State.
And tied with Memphis, basically.
Well, we got one more win than they do.
We will.
In the conference. No, we have one more win than they do right now.
Right now.
We're tied the world in conference ended. Losses. If the world ended. Exactly. And that article that was written by that kid who's coming on the show.
No, not the kid. Danny Chow. Who is the assistant editor for Grantland.
He's
the assistant editor for Grantland.
I'm 40 years old, Jack. I call everybody a kid. All right, okay. So this guy.
He's a pal.
He wrote the article that all of Clipper Nation
and we're gonna talk. Yeah, and we're going to talk about it in detail with him, too. But,
and he said, basically, the Clippers are the second, like it or not, the Clippers are the second best team in the NBA, and here's why. And Danny Chow, that's his name, right?
Yes.
Danny Chow wrote this incredible article for Grantland. All Clipper Nation is talking about it. That's why he's coming on the next Clipcast.
Yeah, he'll be on our postseason preview, which will be a week
maybe
from Wednesday.
Two casts for now.
But
we got him, Clipper
Nation. We got him. We got him, so don't worry about that. So, this is going to be really interesting.
I mean, talk to me about the toughness that this team has showed on the road. We just won three in a row on the road.
They have toughness. They've sold me at this point. But again,
it all started from that 6-1, 7 game run.
I know,
trip.
But how? We need to make sure Jamal just gets implemented
this
in the thing.
This is his first night back.
I know.
He had
the
rust flakes. He hit a couple. Literally, yeah, he hit two big shots.
He did. And he didn't look for a shot as he usually does. But,
he still wasn't afraid to shoot, which he never is.
No, but this is going to be a really interesting period.
Every day it changes.
Uh-huh.
It literally changes every single day. And what's nuts is we could finish the season on the very last day the best standing in the standings we've been all season.
Well, the good thing is, like Doc said in the post game, everyone could keep on winning, but they're playing each other, so
right,
at least
exactly.
we got that going
exactly.
for us. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, I know you're saying the best the Clippers can be is three.
That's why it's going to be
Clippers
that.
The Clippers could be is two.
Listen to this.
They could be
okay,
two.
They're not going to end up two.
Show me Houston's schedule.
At San Antonio.
We can
home against
out.
San Antonio. Home against New Orleans. At Charlotte. They'd have to lose. I'm going to say this. They'd have to go on a three-game skid.
But
they'd have to go on a three-game skid.
Five more games to play.
I know.
And we've got three.
They'd have to go on a three-game skid or go to Charlotte. Charlotte's probably not going to have Al Jefferson. And then Utah at home.
Utah's going to be playing them tough. San Antonio obviously is going to play them tough. And New Orleans is going to play them
tough.
They're
going to lose two of these games.
They
They're not losing three.
Three.
They're not losing three.
They could, but if they lose two, then they're tied with us. And you're
saying they win the division.
But I thought it goes to conference.
No,
records.
The division first. Division first.
Oh, come on with this division nonsense.
So division. That's what. Yeah.
But no, wait. Hear me out, Jag. We tie with Houston. We're 3-1 versus Houston. We have the tiebreaker.
No, we don't. We split.
We're 2-2 versus.
Yeah. Oh. And they win the division.
Division
trumps everything.
I thought we were 3-1 versus
no,
Houston.
No, we were 2-0. We were 2-0. Then we lost a game when Blake was hurt in Houston, and then they won
we
that
lost
Sunday.
On
game.
Sunday, it was the worst. Yeah. It was the worst home loss was Portland because we should have swept them. We almost swept them this year.
Yeah,
except for that fluke loss on ABC. All right, so you're saying three. I see what you're saying because you're saying they would have to lose three
too
out of five.
Many,
and
yeah,
that's too many losses.
Too many losses.
Jag. If anyone's going to beat Houston twice,
it's San Antonio.
If anybody's going to squeak out and win.
If anyone's
going to
lose a game, then rest everybody. It's San Antonio.
Right.
We don't. That's why I think it's going to be the three. I don't know if it's going to be Memphis. I don't know if it's going to be San Antonio. ESPN projections thinks it's going to be San Antonio.
I know that.
And everyone's picking San Antonio already, and they will pick San Antonio.
There's also a chance that we get the five, even mm-hmm. though we're really four.
Yeah, there is. We stumble. We could,
But not even with a stumble. I mean, there's a situation where we could still win out and still play Portland.
Not if we beat Memphis. Not if they beat Memphis.
But I'm saying Memphis drops down to like
the four.
To six.
Yeah.
And Portland gets the five.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. I mean, Portland is, a game and a half behind now? It's a mess.
But Portland and Memphis are falling apart at the seams.
Yeah. No, they are. They are.
I mean, I know it's very improbable that we play Dallas. I'd love to play them. They're in trouble.
They have the bench that I wish the Clippers had.
But isn't that funny, Jag? Because don't you think if Dallas could get their act together versus any team, it would be versus Houston?
You'd think that. But again, the way James Harden's playing right now, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I mean, Dallas, Rondo, that trade hasn't really lived up to the billing.
No, not at all.
Monte Ellis has been hot and cold.
Monte Ellis has been great. He's their leading scorer.
Dirk looks like Hasselhoff,
Hasselhoff comparison.
Yeah, well, he loved. That was his favorite musician growing
up.
I know,
he's looking a little sauerkraut
now. Like that old Hasselhoff video, eating the hamburger.
Hasselhoff just sang on American Idol last week. I was like, sheesh, American Idol, you just gave up.
Yeah, oh, really
voice,
did.
Come on in, voice. You got us.
Wow.
You beat us.
But, we're not.
A lot can happen. What's crazy is all we can worry about is our Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking great. Yes, we lost and stumbled against Golden State in a game we should have won.
Saturday's huge. I mean, Saturday will, I think,
dictate
everything.
Yeah.
Because you lose that game, you fall back to the pack.
Right.
And then we get...
But what's crazy, Jag, is if we were to lose that game, it would almost rock solid land us versus Portland.
Yeah, but...
Portland's scary too in the playoffs.
And you don't want to listen... You want to beat Memphis. You,
I know.
You
we
want
have to.
You want to beat Memphis. You want to split
especially
that
in front
season
of your home
series.
Crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, like, Memphis fans are loud, but they're not the numbers that Golden State fans have.
Memphis
Laker
and
fans
Portland
have.
Fans aren't going to travel like Golden State fans.
But
are.
I mean, LA
and
is,
San Antonio fans travel
LA
pretty
is
good.
A transient city where, like, we welcome people from all the junky cities like Memphis and like Portland.
Yeah.
They come here because the show business and the weather and everything. It's the land of dreams, broken dreams, Jack. So there's going to be Memphis fans, unfortunately. They were there in the playoffs 2 years ago and 3 years ago. It was disgusting.
Yeah, but it's not as bad as
it's not as bad as Warrior fans.
That's the worst.
It's the worst.
They are the worst fans.
They're worse than the Lakers fans, which is saying a lot because the Lakers fans used to be the worst.
Oh.
And the Warriors fans used to be second worst. It's crazy.
Yeah, the war and they all just. Oh, gosh. I just can't stand that team. I just can't stand the
Dubs. I mean, they lost to the Pelicans tonight. That is a round one preview. They could easily fall in seven versus Anthony Davis.
Now I'm hoping it's New Orleans in my...
Hey, didn't I say the Pelicans were going to be eight and you always said Oklahoma City? Didn't I say New Orleans?
Hey, listen, we have another week of this. We don't know what's going to happen. At this point,
All right, so
Nick Hamilton could be the AC.
Three games left. Saturday at home versus the Flopfist Flopsleys. Monday...
Denver.
At home versus Denver Nuggets. And then the final game of the regular season, Tuesday, at Phoenix. The final day of all NBA is the next day, Wednesday.
When we're casting. We're casting that night. So
okay. Once all the scores
everything
are
will
in,
be, we'll know. Yeah,
in.
We'll know.
Right. And then we've got Thursday, Friday off, and the playoffs begin Saturday.
Saturday. So okay. We'll see. I mean, who knows? We could be talking about a Saturday noon game against the Spurs. We could be
what we will likely be having on Saturday is a game at Staples Center. Or
do you
Sunday.
Think it'll be? Yeah. Well,
I think we're getting home court.
I think it all depends against the matchup because if you play the Grizzlies, they probably get a Saturday night or Sunday night game because the Grizzlies are not a sexual. they're not sexual.
There's no sexual chocolate.
No.
They're not a sexy matchup.
Yeah, yeah, you really don't think. Oh, God. The Grizzlies.
Clippers, Spurs?
That's going to be that
Sunday,
ABC
game. Saturday night, ABC.
Yeah, yeah,
big
yeah.
time.
That's ABC. That's Sunday or Saturday, ABC.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. Clippers, Spurs is like big time.
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake, Jack. I don't know, man. I mean, it's crazy. We just got to win out.
That's all they can do.
We've won four in a row. It's not
have
a
Jamal still, get himself back into shape.
11 out of 12 is real good, Jag.
That's great.
Yeah, we beat some clunkers, but we also beat a couple good teams.
Listen,
Blake is back.
Blake is back.
He's all business.
I mean, the key for this team in the playoffs, I've said this from day one, is Blake Griffin. If Blake Griffin can play like Blake Griffin did in that Warriors game, you know, knowing when he has to attack
right. And
when he can settle for the jumper.
40 points that night.
Yeah. But that's what this team needs.
Yeah.
This team has something that a lot of other teams in the Western Conference don't have, and that's an inside presence.
Absolutely.
The Warriors are still a jump shooting team.
Even with Bogut.
Bogut's not an offensive presence.
Right.
You know, Spates is more of a presence, and he comes off the bench. But if you look at the teams, you know, the Spurs have Duncan still, and Splitter has a decent inside game. The Grizzlies have Gasol. You know, you have Aldridge. Teams like that. It's a lot easier to get out of things when you can dump the ball inside.
Sure.
And you can make things happen. But for Blake, you know, he needs to be able to just take over the game and know that there aren't many players like him.
It's why we lost versus Golden State, is because they weren't finding Blake late.
Yeah.
That's why we lost.
No, the ball movement. So.
And I'll tell you something. Chris Paul is on a quest for the Holy Grail, and that Holy Grail is that Larry O'Brien trophy. And that is why, if you check our Twitter feed, Chris Paul looked like Indiana Jones tonight. He was wearing the fedora. He was wearing the Indiana Jones fedora on a quest, on the last Larry Crusade.
Are you seeing
Chris
Paul in the Temple of Staples?
That's right, in the Temple of Staples.
It's just a giant.
Yeah, and the quest for the kingdom of
it
the...
It just takes down L-word statues,
Larry
a giant
O'Brien's
ball.
Talk to me. I was listening to NBA radio the other day, and Justin Termini, one of my favorite mouthpieces over there, basically said Chris Paul has the most pressure of any player in the postseason.
He does.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, he and Blake both do. But
Chris Paul than Blake.
Yeah, I mean, Chris has never been out of the second round.
Ever.
And he is the best point guard
of
the generation.
He was close early with New Orleans.
Yeah, they were up 3-1 in the series.
Right.
In 2008.
Lost.
Yeah, to San Antonio.
Right, and that was round two.
Yeah.
And they never made it round three.
Mm-mm.
So, this Termini character... He said Chris Paul's got to put up or shut up. And what happens, Jag, right now in the postseason? Do we see Chris Paul switch gears? We just see more of that Chris Paul magic? I mean, he cannot have that minute he had game five last year in OKC.
Listen, it's not going to be on Chris Paul. It's on the Clippers as a team, but it's going to be on Blake to take this team to the next level.
You know,
there are so many good point guards in this league. Chris Paul just happens to be the best point guard of the generation that is a true point guard. You have a lot of these other guys that are more hybrid twos,
Harden,
playing one.
Westbrook.
Well, no, I'm talking, yeah, Westbrook,
Westbrook,
Curry, you know, you look
Harden
at that.
Harden is a two, but he takes over as a point guard.
Yeah, yeah, he can handle the ball.
But certainly Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook.
Steph Curry.
Lillard, you know, right. Guys like that, Lillard doesn't play as, you know, both sides like CP does. And, again, it's going to be up to Blake, I think, because we've seen this. There's so much pressure on Chris Paul at the end of games.
Absolutely, and need to alleviate that,
yep.
Take some leave, dish the ball to Blake inside. Also, let's talk about J.J. Redick having the best year of his career.
And why aren't they talking about the Clippers not having one of the best backcourts in the game? That's the thing that baffles me. No one talks about Chris Paul and J.J. Redick.
Second most productive backcourt since the All-Star break. Number one is Curry and Thompson, who the media just, like, go down on those guys constantly. P.S., they lost to New Orleans tonight. Why isn't that national news? But they're the first most productive offensive backcourt in the league since All-Star break is Curry and Thompson, the Splash Brothers, the Trash Brothers. Guess who number two is, Jack? In all the NBA, guess who number two is?
JJ and
yeah,
Chris.
Number three and number four on your playbills, in your bulletins, Chris Paul and JJ Redick. JJ Redick's Duke won a championship. I had a chance to go one-on-one with Austin Rivers, who went to Duke, as you know, to talk to him about his Blue Devils. Let's take a listen.
Austin, how fired up are you about Duke's big W last night?
I was very happy.
Where were you watching?
I was at my home. You know, I kind of just wanted, I didn't want to go to like a bar or anything like that.
Right.
It was a game night anyway. So I just went home and watched it, and it was a very entertaining game. I was screaming at the TV a lot of the game,
yeah.
Especially when they were down like five or six, like 6-7 minutes. I was like, man, this is not good. Because Wisconsin plays such slow basketball, I thought they were going to try to run out the clock, but
right.
They kept playing Duke style, and we just eventually just kind of cracked that code right there at the end. What's up, baby? How you doing, man? Good to see you, man. Yes, sir. I'm doing good.
Yeah,
man. I'm trying. This is my vet, my rookie year.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Now he works for the NBA now. It's all big time.
Did you have any college flashbacks of your days back in Duke? Like, you know, because
Yeah, Quinn was like, I was so, you know, I think everybody last night was emotional. I was very, very happy to see Quinn win because of what he went through just his whole time there and with his father who passed away. You know, I know that's something that he really wanted. So, like, that's all I really, you know, I don't know a lot of the young guys, but, you know, they follow me on Twitter and stuff like that, and I follow them back, and I try to, you know, anything, whatever. But I really wanted Quinn to win, man, and Coach K, of course. So, and I'm really happy it happened. Man, I was really emotional, actually, you know, I wasn't crying or anything like that. But, you know, it was more just about Quinn, though, to be honest. That was my guy, man. That was my guy. I came in with him, you know, we room right next to each other. We were with each other every day, you know, so. When I wanted, you know, I really wanted him to. I'm just so happy he had the year he had, man. He had a great year, man, and I'm proud of him.
That was your best college buddy.
Yeah, he was. He was him and Alex Murphy. And Alex Murphy transferred to Florida, so he was the only guy left. Michael Benajad came with, transferred to Syracuse. You know, the guys that came with left. So Quinn was like, you know, the guy left, and I stayed in touch with him. He's one of the few guys I stay in touch with, like, on a consistent basis from Duke. And, you know, I texted him right for a tournament, like, man, you've had a great year, finishing strong. And then, boy, did they ever. So I'm happy for, you know, Duke, and it was a good win.
I personally feel that Duke has the brightest lights to play under in the NCAA. You know, nobody gets the kind of pressure that Duke gets. So did that help you prepare for playing here in Hollywood?
Yeah, I mean, I never thought of it that way. I mean, Hollywood.
Hollywood adjacent.
Yeah. It's for Burns. If you can play for Duke, you can play for anybody.
Right.
Because you get the most scrutiny there. And people hate Duke. You know what I mean? It's really a compliment. You know, they hate you because, you know, you're good. And, you know, you just, I mean, it didn't really, whether this was Hollywood or not, I don't care. It's basketball, man. You just go out there and hoop and have fun and play hard and try to help your team win. And
with your fellow Duke alum.
Yeah, I'm actually right here. Coincidence, right?
Right.
You know, they know what they're doing.
Thanks a lot, Austin.
No problem. Thank you.
So, Austin the upgrade.
Austin the upgrade. That's right, Jaguar. What'd you think of my Jagfra Winfrey type interviewing skills?
You're like a modern day Donahue. No one knows Phil who Donahue. Donahue. No one knows who Donahue.
I get the
reference.
You
get
it.
These kids don't.
I'm like a modern day Wendy Williams.
Yes.
I grill them. I gave him all the softball questions. Oh, was your college buddy? All right, so three games left. Crazy, crazy, wild, wild west. It's all coming down to the last few games. I think at Phoenix matters.
Everything is going to matter.
Yeah.
I mean, fans, we're going to try to cast on Saturday. If we don't, if something happens, don't kill us. We have a giant, giant postseason preview show that we're gonna, and we'll know everything.
We'll know the answers
when it happens.
You'll know the
Wednesday
answer.
Wednesday night.
We know the answers.
Yeah. So it's wow. And maybe, you know, maybe we'll bring on some.
Well, I think we're gonna throw up a Clipcast on Sunday, Jack. I think we can do it. I think we can make it happen.
It's a one day turnaround.
Because yeah, like we'll, you know, you and I can we'll throw up a cast Sunday, and then we'll throw up a cast on Wednesday night.
The big preview.
Yeah. So these you're going to get some brand new Clipcasts. Keep listening. We appreciate all the listens. We appreciate all the love. Let your Clipper Nation know about this show. It's crazy how few people in Clipper Nation actually know about the show. And when they find it, they're like, what? This is real?
And then if you tell people that know, like, podcast numbers are numbers, they're like, for a Clippers podcast? You guys get that?
Exceptional. And they're exceptional.
I mean, it's...
Well, Clipper Nation is a loud, proud bunch. And... Blake said it himself, the fans that go aren't the problem. They're great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that these away fans are showing up. And, like, he'll go to another junkie team, like a junkie team. He'll go into their arena and 19,000 fans will show up for a junkie team.
Yeah.
And they're a great team. And 19,000 very rarely show up and support them, which is crazy.
It all just goes back to the fact Transient City and Diamond Don didn't care.
Winning cures everything.
So
at the same time, Jag, it's doing, I mean, it's doing something good, which is why they're so good on the road. They feed off
the
booze. They feed off the energy of the other opposing team's
fans. They needed to be this year. I mean, they lost a lot of games that they should have won early. I mean, they lost to basically, they lost to Toronto twice. They lost to Atlanta twice. They split with the Bulls. They lost both to the Cavs. Last year, they blew through basically all the Eastern Conference.
Absolutely.
And they had a stellar home record. I think there were only a few games over 500 on the road. Compared to, you know, I think last year they were.
We're only like one better on the road. But that being said, we're the best road record Clippers ever. And we've got another road game coming up, so we could actually do even better.
Yeah.
Got 25
wins. And the thing is,
too,
you go in the Rose Garden or the Moda Center now in Portland, beat them twice, and they've only lost like six games at home all year.
Right.
This is phenomenal. You know, you can
25 and 15 on the road is fantastic.
Yeah. And you've won in San Antonio. You've won in Memphis.
That was one of our best
wins.
Won
in Houston.
We killed them.
Yeah.
Were all there. They were healthy. They didn't have any injuries that night.
The only team in the Western Conference that they haven't won on their opposing floor is Oakland, the Warriors. It's the only team.
I like tonight's W. It was ugly. Mike Smith, I saw him walking out of the stadium, and he spoke into his phone a text, like a dictated text. I don't know if he was, like, you know, texting his wife or one of his 27 kids, but he said, and I quote, into his phone, "That game was unwatchable." I busted him. I started laughing, and then he stuck his tongue out at me. So, like, it was ugly, but the important thing is you got to win the ugly games.
You got to, and that's what they did.
And we got to win every game.
At this point. Just W's. And just
three more games in the regular season, 3-0, and then bang, 16-0 in the postseason. That's my call, Jack.
It's a little bold. I can't even get past this weekend.
Too early. Let's take care of Memphis first, folks. And
first priority.
Yeah.
Because then, listen, if they lose to Memphis, trust me, people are going to start walking off the bridge again. They are.
We're in good shape, man.
We are, but that Memphis would be great. If you win these next three, it's a great momentum.
I mean, you win seven in a row, lose to Golden State, seven in a row.
Perfect. Yeah.
14 out of 15.
That's awesome.
Incredible.
Yep.
All right, let's do it. Sound the horn.
What's your relationship with the rim like?
It's kind of like a violent relationship.
Some ups and downs?
Some ups and downs. A lot of banging. So.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a good part.